Well, I guess the title of this would be, I put Our Father's Love, but I think we all have to take it personal, My Father's Love. And it's not just He reveals His love. It's not that He just reveals His love for me. You know, that's a step, and that's a step of growth. But He reveals His love in me. And there's faith, there's hope, and there's charity, but the greatest of these is love. So a father's love, have you ever thought about the end of the thing should be better than the beginning of the thing? And I thought of Solomon in 1 Kings when he was asked, well, what do you want me to give you? And he didn't say, give me houses, give me land, give me cattle. Nothing really about just him. He just needed wisdom because he was going to rule over all these people and he didn't know how to do it. And so he asked for wisdom. And God told him, he said, you know, the Lord said, I'm not going to just give you what you asked for. I'm going to give you what you didn't ask for. And I kept thinking and pondering on that. And I thought, wow, you know, that's like the Lord for us. We ask for certain things, but He gives us something else we didn't ask for. He gave him land. He gave him all this wealth. He gave him a lot of stuff. And I sat and I wonder, why did you give him that? And it's like, well, and then you go in and you look and how he wrote Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon. And I thought, not only did he write something, he was given these things and he learned by experiment in practicality, not only what God said, but he learned by the wise Father and wise God. He gave him more than he asked for, but he learned in practicality, there is nothing new under the sun. And everything that we have, everything we were, naked I came, naked you're going to return. People worry about this all the time, but I was looking, I think, Ecclesiastes, and everyone wants a good name. A good name. And people will go at lengths to get a good name. Oh, my name is so-and-so. Oh, I know you. And this. And the attitude of heart shouldn't be that we are trying to get a good name. We have to relinquish all that flesh. It's done. God wants nothing to do with a good name under the flesh. Our good name is, I am a Christian. I am a newborn creation. I have been born in Christ. Everything about me now, it should be Christ's love, the joy. You know, we talk about Jesus, the joy that was set before him. Do we realize that the very joy that was set before him, had he not gone to the cross for us according to the Father's plan, where would we be at? There's a joy set before me now, and we're going to see different callings and what happened in these things. But the end was better than the beginning. And I thought, Solomon, did you ever think you were going to write all those books? All that wisdom down on paper? Look what happened. Was the end better than the beginning? Because all of us, we get to study these out. And you go in and remember, this is something that he learned, but I believe it was practiced in his life. What about Joseph? Joseph had a father who loved him and his mother. He had a coat of many colors. Well, it starts out in love, but then it turns into bitterness, anger, jealousy, strife, envy. But did it end like that? No. The end of the thing was better than the beginning of the thing because God, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. You see, the end was better. What about Moses? Kill all the baby boys. This is a baby who had been fathered, and he had a wonderful mother, and he had the sister. His beginning started out. He was born. They saw he was a proper child. They loved him. But they were not afraid of the king's commandment. Well, what was the end of the thing? Moses starts out that he's in a little, this little ark, and he's put on the water in the bulrush. And his sister's watching. But we have to look at everything from the day he was born. If we go in and take any of those stories out about Moses, we lose the whole benefit, the whole love and glory of God that was with Moses. And Moses ends up, what happens? The very one, the little boy that could have been killed like everyone else, God said, you are going to lead my people out. You're going to bring them out to that resurrection ground. And then, what about Jesus? Because Jesus loved you. Jesus started out, he was born. I'm sure it all started out beautiful. And he walked with God. He was left in the temple. He said, I'm about my Father's business. But if you keep going, you're going to get in the time when he had disciples. He taught. He did miracles. He fed many. But there came a time, he said, it's time now. It's time. It's time for me to go to the cross. But be of good cheer, because I'm going to come again. You'll see me again. God always leaves it on a good note. And he said, Jesus died, but did he come back? Was he resurrected? Yes, because God had a plan. That's our Father. He's not just God to us. This is the Father of love who loved us above all things. Paul enjoyed what? The love of God, the grace message. And he said, for it is by grace. You see, grace. In all these different places like Galatians 1:15, where Paul said that when it pleased God, he separated me from my mother's womb. Why did God do that? To reveal his son, not to me, in me. You see, the same thing, not the love of God for me, but the love of God in me, a lot deeper. Deeper walk, deeper talk. And he says, but even Paul knew it was by grace through faith, that not of yourself, it was a gift of God. When we are told by Paul, grow up, and in Peter, grow up in this grace, what does that mean? Reveal his son in me, Christ in me, the hope of glory. It's not about the flesh anymore. It's about this new creation. And we're going to go over and we're going to see that today. But I want us to go to Romans chapter 8. We're going to start on verse 25. And I hope you get to see that the end of the thing was better than the beginning of the thing. But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. So we walk by faith and not by sight. And if you're hoping for something, hope that is seen, it's no longer hope. Hope thou in God. In the Psalms, oh my soul, how many times our Father came to us through the power of the Holy Spirit and spoke these words to us. Oh, my soul, why? Why are you disquieted within yourself? Well, we have to answer that question. Why are you disquieted? Why are you not resting? Why are you not believing the finished work of Calvary? With patience, wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. How would we pray? And I know we have sometimes, God, make it stop. Lord, I don't want to go any further. Don't ask God to take away the deep truth and the deep blessing that you are to enter into. That's the will of God. We want to know God's perfect will. The Holy Spirit prays, making intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. He that searcheth the heart, God knows what your heart is. We even tell him, Lord, search my heart, O God. Search it. If there be any wicked way, anything in me that's not you, reveal it to me, Lord. He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. because he maketh intercession for the saints. According to what? The will of God. Not your will. Not my will be done. It's thy will be done. That means there may be some sufferings, and there will be if you want to rule and reign with Christ. Then we're not going to ask him to take away the suffering. I'm going to, right here, I want you to remember back in Romans 5. Okay, the much more. You have much more than just a tribulation. You have much more. He's working a work in you. We are his workmanship. Not of works, lest I would boast. It's his work. It's his workmanship. So we have to say, yes, Lord, to your will and to your way, because we know you love us. And if you don't know it in a deep way, you will before Sunday school is over. This is according to the will of God. And we know that all things are worked together for good to who? To them that love God above yourself, above anything, anyone. It's not about your tribulation. Remember, was the end of the thing better than the beginning of the thing? Tribulation worketh. We are his workmanship. It worketh patience. Patience brought experience. And then when you experienced it, what? Hope. Hope that maketh not ashamed. And what else happened? The end of the thing. Look what happened. It was the love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. The end of that tribulation, whatever we go through. And that doesn't mean one thing. It means there could be whatever it takes, Lord, until we see you face to face. But we have the promise. The end of the thing, the much more is, it'll be the love of God. And that shed abroad in our hearts because of the Holy Ghost. To them who are called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow. He knew you. A lot of people say, well, you were predestinated. He loved you more. I think you are this and you are that. No. He already knew about the fall. He already knew us in Christ Jesus. He foreknew us. Well, he also predestinated us. He wants us to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Jesus came, and he was born, but he also died. The day of our birth. Do you know the day we go home can be better than the day we were born? That he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did what? Predestinate. He did something else. And every one of these, get it, because it is as if it's already done. Count the things that are not as though they already were. As God sees it, he wants to open our eyes and to reveal, unveil that, so we can see the very love of God. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he, not they or somebody, he called, and whom he called, he also did what? Justified. You're a new creation. You're a new man. You came up in resurrection life. You can enter in the holiest of holies. Whom he called, he also justified. Whom he justified, not I'm going to get up every day and I have to do this and I have to do that. No, you need to know what justification is. You need to know who was the at-one-ment, atonement for you. You need to understand those things so you can enter in to the glory of God. He justified, he also glorified. And we know that we haven't seen the full glorification yet, But in practicality, when you see what he has already done, you're going to enjoy the next scripture so much more. What shall we then say to these things? All right? What are you going to say about these things? Do you believe you were predestinated? Do you believe you're justified? Do you know he called you? You know what? When the end is better than the beginning, when he called you by his grace to reveal his son in you, do you realize the end of the Father's love was that you could enter into not just being called into a new creation and a new birth, that you could have a high calling, that you can be the bride of his son. The joy now that he put before you, you can endure the cross. What do you say about it? If God be for us, okay? If God already showed you he's for you, he justified you, he called you, he glorified you, he justified you. What do you say about those things? And he goes, if God is for you, which he is, who can be against you? What is the thing that is thinking, oh, this is going to be against me, and this is going to be bad, and this could be hard in my life? What a trial, Lord. What if this happens? No, he is trying to show you the Father loves you so much that tribulation will only bring patience if you just wait for it. And it will end up the love of God. It's always a continuous circle. Always. Faith, hope, charity. We have faith because of him. We have hope because of him. Hope beyond the present. And we have hope that he's coming to take us home. Thank God that through the word of God, we see this world is not our home. We're just passing through. Who can be against you? Paul said, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, he delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Give you everything now. If he would send his only son and let him die on a cross for you, what is the hope beyond? What is it that when Jesus died and he was beaten, what was it? He said, I know I'm doing this. There's a joy set before me, and I'm going to endure this for her. I love her. And we want to go forth and learn more about the love of God and what is in this for him. He didn't spare his own son. He went to the cross for all of us. How shall he not with him freely? You don't have to work for it. It's a workmanship. We are his workmanship. We don't have to work for anything. We get to believe it and freely receive it. He's going to give you all things. Who, okay, and get this question, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Who can do it? He already justified you. How can you come into this place of blame and all these bad things again? You'll have people do that all the time because they're looking at one thing. They're looking at your flesh. They're not looking at who you are in the beloved. You have already been accepted in the beloved. Are you enjoying that? Are you walking in that? Are you reveling in it? Are you beginning to worship now in spirit and in truth? Who shall lay anything to God's elect? It was God that justified you. It is God that justifieth. He is a righteous judge. God sees it for what it is. But the one thing that has always taken me through this journey of life, God sees our heart. What is your heart attitude? What is it you truly want from him? Is it because of true love? Is it selfish? Are we getting in, trying to go back the other way? No, press forward. Know who you are, and if you make it to the very end, which he says, he glorified you. So come on and enter into that. We need to press on. You're gonna have trials, but who can separate you? Who can judge you when you make a mistake? You're growing up in the beloved. You're growing. Who is he that condemneth or judge you? Because we already learned in Romans chapter 8. You see, Paul already went through this, Romans 6, 7, and 8. And he had to come to the place that he saw. Oh, the things I want to do, I don't. He saw that battle between the two creations. He saw that. And he entered into it, but God said, you don't have to stay there. Come on out of that. And you may experience again in your life. But he said, don't stay there. Thank God through Christ Jesus, my Lord, who giveth me the victory. He learned it. And so then he went into Romans 8 and he said, there is therefore, because of what we just learned, what he just learned, there is therefore now no condemnation. I'm a new creation. What is in this for me? What if I just walk in the Spirit? And now I'm a new creation. What's going to happen then? Go in and look at the glory chapter of Romans 8. It is Christ that died for you. It is Christ that riseth again. Notice again. You see, he rose up on the cross. That cross rose up and he was on it. But he rose up again. He went from death and came up in life. And when we see he did that for me, the Father's love, he sent his Son. And Jesus, he did according to his Father's perfect will. It is him that riseth again. Who is going to accuse my brethren? Who is even at the right hand of God, Jesus, who maketh intercession? Ha! He's praying for us. He is our high priest. He's making intercession for us. Who? I love all these who. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And I love this. Who can separate you from the love of Christ? And just real quick, we're going to look down at verse 39. Because there's a question here. Who's going to separate you? Well, let's find out what the answer is, and then we'll go to the in-between. Nor height, nor depth, nor any creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord, the head of my new creation life. So, who is it that's going to separate us from the love of Christ? Nothing and no one. Shall tribulation? We just heard it. No, it won't. It can't. No. Distress? No. Persecution? No. Famine? No. Nakedness? No. We know nothing is able. We have to claim that as if it already were. Nakedness, peril, a sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted sheep for the slaughter. You know, I learned something this weekend I never had before. And I shared it with someone. They go, I never heard it like that either. And I was like, really? I thought I was the only one who didn't know it. Cain, Abel, and Seth. Cain is works. Abel, I always thought back to that story. And I thought, Lord, okay, if Cain is of works, Abel is the blood way, why do I have to have Seth? I mean, it's so simple when God reveals it. He said, because Cain is of works, God doesn't accept works. But Abel came the blood way, and he was accepted. But Jesus died for me. His brother slew him at Calvary. He died, his blood was shed, Abel. Did God have another part to the story? Yes. The line of Seth. The new creation and resurrection. You see, the three, all these things go along with all this. And he said, who is going to separate you? You're a sheep for the slaughter. No, in all these things, all the things we've already named, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. How? Through him that loved us. He loves us. How much does he love us? So much that nothing. He died for me, buried for me. He's the Lord of my life. And we have to come to the place that, for I am persuaded. Remember the one, Corinthians. I know whom I believed. I'm persuaded. Not they're persuaded for me. I'm persuaded that he is able. He is able to keep that which I've committed to him against that day, to that very day. Everything is him. If anything points to anyone, anything other than Jesus, something is wrong. I am persuaded that neither death, life, angels, principalities, powers, nor things present. What's going on in your life today? Or things to come? We don't know what the future holds. But we do know one thing. I'm persuaded it can't separate us. Nor height, I don't care how high it is, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us. It cannot separate me, you, from the love of God, the love of our Father. I mean, I like saying the love of God, but to me it's the love of God, but when I see him as he's my Father, the love of my Father towards me. And that's why all these things, I don't care what we go through, he's working. He's working a work in you. The love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The love of God is in Christ Jesus, our Lord, and I am in Christ. I am in Christ. What about the fruit? Everybody always says fruits. What about the fruit that's of the Spirit? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, temperance, long-suffering, forbearance. I mean, there's so much. And I still go back to when God revealed it to me. I know nine means, I think, divine judgment. I'm not for sure. But he showed me it takes a mother 9 months to bring forth a child. 9 months, it's ready to come forth and bring forth the fruit, the child of the new creation. I look at this and I think of the love of God. You guys, we are justified. We're glorified. Because everything we are is who he is. Everything we are is who he is. The only thing that has not been changed, we're changing right now from glory to glory as we enter into this. But what about our body? We haven't received the fullness of redemption yet. But we're going to receive a glorified body. Glorified. There won't be all these spots and blemishes. And why? Because we won't have to overcome that any longer. We already did that here. The flesh is not going to leave. It's here. It's here forever. Back to the dust it'll go. It's the new man. When he comes, when he says, naked I came and naked I return. Let me tell you, we as a new creation, we will be clothed in his glory. We will be clothed. And when I said it, I'm clothed in his majesty. We're a royal people. Everything he has done, everything he will do, It is for me, but is to form Christ in me. And I didn't write this scripture down, but you can dig for it. Someone shared this at camp with me, and I went, I never believe what somebody tells me. I just don't. I always go, let me go see. And it did. It said, God created Adam and Eve, but do you know he called them Adam? That's in the scripture. I believe it's Genesis 3 or Genesis 5, 2. And he called them Adam. There's a deep nugget right there. And I think once we see it, we just begin, it's all in Christ, in Christ. She's in Christ. She's in Christ. The first father in the Word of God. God is our father. Adam, he was the father of those sons. And that's what we had this weekend. We went into all the sons, the line of sons, and what they meant. There's so much in here. And as long as we have this right here that nobody wants, that people sell at garage sales for a quarter, this is the one book that will show us where to go, how, why, when, where. The end of the thing is better than the beginning of the thing. It is. People want to go to the end of the thing before they get in the beginning. They really do. You have to be born again. You can't go to the end of the thing and find your place until you take your place in the beginning of the thing. And what was that thing? This holy thing that was born of Mary that she had in her womb. That's the seed. That's who you are. You are the new birth. You are in Christ. Now go in and find out who you are and what you're going to get because of what? What Jesus did for me. And not only for me, get deeper, he's doing it in you. Let's all stand.